Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here again with you. We're both in the studio again.
Two weeks in a row.
It's just like a record or something.
Yeah, nobody's out in the mission field, and nobody's on vacation. And
nobody's wandering in the desert.
Wandering in the desert. That was fun, though. Yeah. I should wander in a desert once in a while. I'm always wandering in the desert mentally.
Did you have to, like, provide for your own water and stuff?
No.
No?
I stayed in hotels.
Oh, okay.
They had plenty of water there.
You took the fun out of all of it.
Yeah, and
well,
that's
maybe
okay.
Next time.
At least it was quiet.
That's true.
That was the main thing. But anyway, good to be back here again on Sunday night, and we've done a couple of shows on salvation, and we've been trying to tell the basic message of salvation, starting with Adam and Eve in the fall, starting with being separated from God after having unlimited intimacy and fellowship with Him, now being separated, to the people in the wilderness being separated from the presence of God and having to offer blood sacrifices to atone for sin.
Yeah.
And even back in the garden, Adam and Eve being covered with animal skins after animals had to die because they had sinned. Mm-hmm. A substitutionary death. And of course, we didn't mention Abraham and Isaac.
No, we haven't mentioned them yet.
And you all know that story.
Yeah.
And Isaac is spared, and the ram is killed in his place, so that the ram dies for him. Mm-hmm. It's a substitutionary death.
Yeah.
God provides the sacrifice. And interestingly enough, God provides another lamb in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah,
right,
to die for all of us, not just Isaac, but all of us. Because as we said last week, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has infinite, infinite power to save whoever comes.
Right. Yeah. It's not a finite.
Right. Not limited in any way.
Yeah, it's not a resource that's going to be used up and then it's gone.
Right.
It's infinite. As you're talking, there's also how even when Moses was, he had to hide in the cleft of the rock.
Yes.
As God passed by. So there's all these things that changed.
Yes.
After the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden that we have to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
As whether you're a believer or a non-believer, doesn't matter because it affects you the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's a false perception that, well, if I believe, then I'm okay. If I don't believe, well, that person is really in a bad spot. But, whether you believe or you don't believe, you have to understand what took place and why it took place and what the meaning of it is and what the purpose of it is.
Exactly.
Because if you don't understand it, you're still in your sin. You're still without Christ.
Yes.
And the only way that you're going to get to heaven is to simply receive the gift of God's grace, the gift of God's love and mercy, which is the gift of salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ.
Right.
So these last couple of shows that we've done, we hope that it's helped, open or understand that that people can understand more fully. What does it mean? Like, am I saved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is this gift of salvation? What is the message of salvation? We hope that we've uncovered it more fully, that, you're thinking about it in a way that you haven't thought about it before, and that it is actually resonating.
Yes.
Because, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago and talking about some ministry stuff and things that I get the sense, the Lord might want them to do and those type of things. And as I was talking, she said that she likes to sing, have you done that a long time? And yeah, ever since I was, ever since a little girl. And I'm like, so it's a part of who you are, and you want the word to be a part of who you are.
Exactly.
You want God's presence to be a part of who you are.
Yes.
Not some separate thing off in the distance.
Yes.
But a part of who I am. And it struck me because, you know, each one of us, we do different things. You know, we have a profession, but God gives us enough gifts that we can do more than probably one profession if we really, you know, mm-hmm. take an inventory of what God's given us gift in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to reflect upon that sometimes is, there's more that God gives us than we actually go with or cooperate mm-hmm. with sometimes. Mm-hmm. We need to understand what makes us up as a human being, as what makes us up as a person, but also if we're separated from Christ and he's not a part of us, then we're not a part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I really took away from that conversation more profoundly that I haven't even, you know, shared with that person, but reflecting upon it, I was like, yeah, we really need to be a part of Christ because then he's a part of us.
Exactly. And even the, when you were just talking a minute ago about the cleft of the rock, you know, Moses wanted to see God's glory and he couldn't. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about Jesus as being the rock because water came from the rock. The Spirit comes because of what Jesus did. Paul talks about how the rock followed the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, Christ is the rock. So in the cleft of the rock, which you can interpret as the wounds that Jesus suffered for our salvation, Moses is hidden and God covers him with his hand. So he's protected inside this and he's able to experience God's glory at that time in a limited way. Yeah. Eventually we'll get to experience it in a much more complete way.
All of its fullness,
But it's all about what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take away from this what Steve was just saying and what we talked about last week is this is not something that you're going to earn by being extra good.
Right.
Or by going to church 50 Sundays out of the year instead of 40 Sundays out of the year. And it's not necessarily something you're going to earn by going 52 Sundays a year to church.
That's better though.
Yeah, that's better. Got more points. But you're not going to accumulate enough points to make up for a lifetime of sin.
It's not a rebate program.
It's not a rebate. And there's a scorecard for people who don't know Jesus. And unfortunately, the scorecard is going to be completely negative.
Yeah.
For people who do know him, they're going to have negative things on their scorecard. But we're going to get to a couple of verses where Paul points out that because of what he did, we're covered with his righteousness. We become adopted sons. And we're in a totally different situation than somebody who says, I heard all that stuff. I think it's nonsense.
Right.
Or somebody who willingly rejects the gospel.
Yeah.
And you may live here. If you live in this area and you're 85 years old and you've heard the gospel all your life and you've rejected it all along the way and you're laying on your deathbed and you may have one more chance to accept the gospel and you say, I don't believe any of that nonsense. That 85 years didn't do you much good.
Right. Right.
And it's a matter of, I don't even want to say understanding it. It's a matter of taking it in and realizing where you stand.
Right.
And we're going to go through some verses in Romans, that are going to show that. But what did you want to add?
I was just going to say that, you know, as I was mentioning, Moses being hidden in the cleft of the rock, as we alluded, or not alluded to, we really covered it last week, is that from the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked with God. They fellowshiped mm-hmm. with God. They mm-hmm. saw God.
Mm-hmm.
Moses couldn't even look at him.
Right.
So we were really trying to emphasize last week that what changed was not only did sin enter into the world, but now there was a veil between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
And that veil was there to separate us from mm-hmm. God because mm-hmm. because sin separates us from God. And when Jesus died on the cross that veil was torn in two. The veil of the
from
veil
top to bottom.
From top to bottom. You know, the veil of the temple in the that was torn in two isn't just a physical thing.
Right.
It's a spiritual thing as well. That veil that separated us is now gone.
Yes.
Because now we can enter into the Holy of Holies. Now we can approach God and say, Abba, Father, Daddy.
Yes. And when you hear about that veil, you know, you have to keep in mind, this is not like some sheer curtain or some little drapery.
Right.
It's 6 inches thick.
Yeah.
And it's 2 stories high.
Yeah.
And once a year, someone can go through that veil.
Yeah.
But then the veil's torn. Separation is gone.
I was going to say, human hands are not going to tear that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Certainly not from top to bottom.
No.
And the Bible specifically tells us it was torn from top to bottom.
Yeah.
So you know that some guy, the apostles didn't plant some guy in there to tear the veil.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he could have torn it from top to bottom.
Right.
But the idea of separation that you bring up is the important thing. Moses was, I mean, God really loved Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is always called the servant of God.
Yeah.
Moses, God says, I talk to Moses like you talk to a friend.
Yeah.
I'm really into Moses. He's really a cool guy. I really like Moses. You know, Moses, he talked with Moses and Moses' face would shine.
Yeah.
And that's when sunglasses were invented because people would say, dude, this is too bright around here. And then if it was at night, they'd say, oh, can you go to another tent? We're trying to get some sleep over here. But Moses glowed when God talked to him. His face glowed. And as much as God loved Moses, as much as Moses was the servant of God, Moses was the mediator of the old covenant, he could not see God's glory.
Right.
He could only catch a glimpse. He could only hear his voice in some way.
Yeah.
He couldn't see the glory. As God said, no one can see my glory and live.
Right.
Because number one, we're in a state of sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even look on that. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees the glory of God in the temple, he says, woe is me.
Right.
I've seen God and I'm going to die.
Right.
Because you can't see. He knew very well the scripture from Exodus where God says, you can't see my glory and live.
Right.
Because we're not made to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because we have a sin nature.
Right.
But then, when Jesus comes, not only do we see the glory in the physical Jesus of Nazareth, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, as it says in Colossians, so that the people who looked at little baby Jesus were seeing the glory of God in a baby.
Mm-hmm.
The people who saw him walking around and listened to him experienced the glory of God in a physical way, differently than Moses did, but that was the whole glory.
Right.
To now, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, now we have unlimited access to the glory.
Yeah.
Because we sit at the table.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jesus says, there were those who wanted to see what you see, but did not see it.
Mm-hmm.
There were those who longed to see what you see, but did not see it. There's those who longed to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
Yeah.
You know, so in Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God the Father revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, think about it. The disciples, the apostles, walked with Jesus for 3 years.
Yeah.
And they see the glory of God revealed in Christ. I mean, when Peter's on Mount Tabor and Jesus is transfigured, you know, Peter's like, wow.
Mm.
This is incredible. Lord, how about we just build one tent for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll just stay here.
Just stay here.
You don't have to do anything with the kingdom. It's great. We'll just stay here. Let's just go with this.
Yep.
You know? And for anybody that has experienced that, you know, has encountered God in that way where God's love is just really poured out into their heart and their life, it's easy to see why Peter would say that.
Exactly.
Because, man, it's transforming. And you just want to go, oh, let's just stay here.
Yeah.
But also, I want to get back to Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Isaac was bound tightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God tells Abraham, go and take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, sacrifice him. And when Abraham's ready to do that, he shows God that he loves God more than his own son.
Mm-hmm.
And God stops him.
Mm-hmm.
God sends an angel and stops him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when Isaac is on the altar, he's like, or when they're up there, you know, Isaac is asking his dad, well, you know, here's the wood and the stone, but where's the lamb, or where's the sacrifice? God himself will provide.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham tells his son. And sure enough, God does. But that sacrifice, or that taking in place of, that the ram took the place of Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we talked last week about how there's always something that's taking the place or covering us.
Yes.
Because of the sin problem.
Mm-hmm. It's always something to do with blood.
Right.
It's always a covering. It's always a substitution.
Right.
When you took the lamb to the temple, and the lamb was offered as the sacrifice, and the lamb bled to death because mm-hmm. his throat was cut.
Right.
When you think about it, a few hours ago, an hour ago, there was a cute little lamb that was grazing in the pasture and walking around and running and looking cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's dead because of you. It's
mm-hmm.
dead because of something you've done.
Right.
It loses its life because of something that you did. You're supposed to lose your life because you've broken the law, but this lamb loses its life instead of you losing your life. And this is how the Torah points to the cross mm-hmm. to get people to understand that sin has a very real consequence. This is an ugly death.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful little animal that's now dead.
Right.
Jesus was the perfect human being with the divine nature, 100% of each nature, who had to die because of something that you did. Mm-hmm. Because of many things that you did. And not only you, but all the billions of other people that have lived have done ugly things,
mm-hmm.
starting with Adam and Eve, to the point where the cross was the only way that this could be accounted for. So when you think that you're good enough to go, and when you think that you're really a pretty nice person, you have to think about that horrible picture from the Passion of the Christ. You have to think about that horrible picture of a perfect being having to die because of what you've done. If you were a really good person, that wouldn't have been necessary. If you were a really holy, if everybody was really holy, that wouldn't have been necessary. But it's a substitutionary death.
Right.
And this is what you have to keep in mind, and we're going to get to why you have to keep that in mind after we hear this awesome song. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Oh, comes your salvation, yeah. Oh, and a nation will be formed out of him. And a people will be born out of him. Out of Zion, Zion. Oh, comes your salvation, yeah. Will be formed out of him, and the people will be born out of him.
be born out of here. Out of Zion, Zion, Zion.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, 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 oh. And from salvation. Oh, oh, oh. And the nation will be formed out of here. And the people will be born out of here. Out of Zion, Zion. Oh, oh, oh. Comes your salvation.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
That is an awesome song. Is that Paul Wilbur?
I think it is.
That is.
Yeah. Remember, go to WilburMinistries.com, buy some stuff.
One of everything?
Yeah. Dumb Phil and Steve sent you. They'll say, they'll say who?
Charge us something extra for that.
Yeah, they'll charge an extra 10%. Anyway, back to this serious matter. So, since you can't earn it, and if you're thinking what a good person you are because you haven't killed anybody and you haven't committed adultery and you haven't stolen anything, Saint Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, who, as we mentioned, I can't remember when it was we mentioned it, because the time's all kind of running together,
yeah,
was the most zealous for the law, was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. No one was advancing in Judaism more than he was, who then becomes the apostle of grace,
yeah,
the apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. When he writes the book of Romans, which I think might be my favorite book.
Yeah, I think Hebrews is.
Right, but Hebrews is awesome.
We better not get off track.
Right. In Romans chapter 3, you may or may not have heard of the term the Roman road, but it's kind of a play on Roman roads, since the Romans had such great roads through their empire. And the book of Romans has so many interesting verses that have to do with what your real situation is. In Romans chapter 3:10, he says, there is none righteous, not one. Or in some translations, there is no one who is righteous. No, not one. Now, he doesn't say there's no one who's righteous except a handful of people that I happen to know. Or you can't say no one is righteous except I know some people at my church that are really amazingly holy. He says not only is not everyone righteous, there is none who are righteous. And then, comma, for emphasis, not one. So there is not a single person. So if you're a human being, using some, I forget what it's called, some rule of logic, if you're a human being, Paul says, you're not righteous, because not one is righteous. Mm-hmm. Not some percentage, not one. And so the standard, as we mentioned last week, is perfection. The standard for you achieving salvation, getting yourself into heaven and earning your way in, would be complete perfection. And since Paul writes, there's none who are righteous, no, not one, that's going to exclude not only you and not only me, but everybody who is listening. And so, Paul doesn't say to you, I wouldn't worry about this because you're basically a good person. He says there's none who's righteous, not one.
That's true.
So
that's
you're not going to earn your way in. And that's part of the Roman road. And then he adds later on in chapter 3 in verse 23, and you can read these for your homework. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, how many have sinned? All. Is it 10% of people that have sinned, or is it 80% of people? It's all.
Yeah.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? You can't get to that glory. You fall short.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way you can live your entire life on a perfectly holy road, being perfectly righteous all the way to dying and then seeing God's glory and saying, I made it. It was really hard for me to do. I worked really hard. I prayed really hard. I just did this, and here I am now in God's glory. He says, no, because everyone has fallen short. All have sinned.
Right.
Not just some, all.
Yeah. Yeah, each one of us will have to give an account of ourselves before God.
Yes, 14:12.
Yeah. And so the remedy for giving that account is to stand in the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Because the accuser of the brethren, who is Satan,
mm-hmm.
stands there and accuses us day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Look what your servant did, God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this list of sins. It's not worthy of this. And Jesus stands there and says, not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my blood.
Exactly.
You know, I think we talked about this a little bit maybe last week or the week before, but what happens on the cross is so profound because Jesus reconciles all of creation back to God that, you know, those who are unclean are now clean. You know, we were talking about Cornelius and Peter and how salvation is brought to his household.
Mm-hmm.
He was a God-fearing man. He gave alms. But the angel says, you need to talk to Peter because he's going to speak a word to you that's going to bring salvation to your household. So as you're talking about how, well, you know, you can't earn your salvation, you can't, it's a free gift. It is a free gift because even with Cornelius, we see that he was a God-fearing man, he gave alms, he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
But the angel says, Peter's going to speak a word and salvation is going to come to your household.
Mm-hmm. He says, there's something you must know.
You must know about this. And Peter talks to him about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you raise a good point, and it's actually Romans 14:12. You can read that for your homework, too. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you give an account. Now, if you don't understand the cross, if you don't understand what Jesus did, if you don't understand how he died for you, if you don't understand how you're saved by his blood, if you don't understand that that's the only way you can be saved, then when you give an account of yourself, as you just indicated, you stand by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have much to say.
Right.
Because your life is going to be laid out before you. And you're not going to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, I can explain that one. I was having like a really bad day that day, and I was really stressed out, and Oh, wait a minute. I can explain this one too. Remember, that wasn't really my fault because you're not going to say a word.
And you have all of eternity to try and do that.
That's right. There is going to be, it isn't like a court of law at your county courthouse or at the Supreme Court or wherever court of law. It's a perfect court of law with perfect justice. And the verdict is you're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, if you stand by yourself, there is not defense.
Right.
You cannot defend what you've done. The evidence is clear. I mean, it's like going to be playing a videotape of your life.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have much to say. It's going to be a very quiet thing where you're just going to stand there and realize that you're condemned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to be in front of, we all are going to be in front of, a God that is all holy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I encountered the Lord, the holiness of God was pretty evident to me in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my sinfulness was really evident to me in that moment. And it hasn't, you know, that hasn't changed. But in that moment when that encounter took place, it was so profound that I understood. And the message I would try to convey to anybody else is that even though you haven't experienced that, trust me, your life is an open book before God.
Uh-huh.
Everything you think, everything you say, everything you do, every word you think you're going to say, God knows it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, now, thinking a thought is not a sin. Acting upon that thought can be. You know, dwelling upon that thought and entertaining it and say, hey, come on, let's have some lunch over this. You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, when you get something in your head that's not of the Lord, you got to rebuke it. You got to get it out of there. But that, you know, the life that we live, the life that each one of us lives, is going to be accounted for before the judgment seat of God.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also God's mercy, and that's the gift of salvation. And that is, the most important thing, is that you can either pass through the doors of God's judgment, or you can pass through the doors of God's mercy. And passing through the doors of God's mercy is what the Lord really desires, because he gave us his only son. Jesus gave his life for me, for you, and for mm-hmm. everybody who's listening, so that we can pass through the doors of God's mercy.
Exactly. Because if you're standing by yourself, I don't remember the verse, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but there's a very scary verse where Jesus says, every idle word will enter into the judgment.
Oh, yeah.
An idle word, what is that? Something you don't even mean, something that you say in passing, something that you say when you walk out of a room and say, boy, that guy's a jerk. Or man, what a idiot that guy is. I mean, you don't even really mean he's a jerk. You don't really mean he's an idiot. You're saying something that's just kind of passing because he said something that got you aggravated. But he says, every idle word is going to enter into the judgment.
Yeah.
Remember the day you called Joe an idiot? Well, yeah, but you know, he really made me mad that day. Well, no, you're not going to say that, but all these idle words are going to enter into the judgment. That's going to be the account, because the standard is perfection. So if you stand by yourself, if you stand without an attorney, if you stand without an advocate, if you stand without a paraclete, you stand by yourself. And in that same book, Romans, in chapter 6, verse 23, Paul writes, the wages of sin is death. So you're going to be found guilty. There isn't, whether you're Judas or whether you're Adolf Hitler or whether you're Mother Teresa, you're going to be found guilty, because somewhere along the line, you've transgressed the law, and the judgment is going to be guilty. So if you stand by yourself, if you stand without an advocate, the wages of what you've done is death. Now, you're already physically dead, so this is now much worse than physical death. It's spiritual death. You're going to be cast into hell. You're going to be cast into this horrible pit. And there you're going to be, because that's the wages of what you've done. But then the second half of the verse, he says, but, and that's a huge conjunction here, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What is it? It's the gift of God. You stand there with sin against you, but you also now, through Jesus, have the gift of eternal life. It isn't that you haven't committed the sin. It isn't that you've been perfectly righteous your whole life. The sin you've committed, you can't say, oh, I've never committed any sins. Oh, I've never done anything like that, because you have.
Right.
You have violated every one of the 613 laws. You have violated every one of the Ten Commandments, which everybody knows the Ten Commandments. You've violated every one of them.
Right.
Because you go through your life thinking and doing things that violate them. We don't We could do a whole series of shows on the Ten Commandments and how you violate each one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've done the wrong, but it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord.
Yeah. You know, what you're referring to there is in Matthew chapter 12.
Okay.
It's at verse 33 through 36. And it's about a tree and the fruit that it bears. And we have to remember Jesus talked about, you know, judging a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when their fig tree wasn't given any figs,
yeah,
he said he cursed it and it died.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
A fig tree is supposed to bear figs.
Mm-hmm.
And so too, a disciple of Jesus is to bear good fruit. So he says in Matthew 12, starting at verse 33, either declare the tree good and its fruit good, or declare the tree rotten and its fruit is rotten. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you say good things when you are evil? For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. A good person brings forth good out of a store of goodness, but an evil person brings forth evil out of a store of evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak.
Mm.
By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
Mm. Yeah. You don't want to stand there by yourself.
No.
You don't want to stand there by yourself. Because you need an advocate. You need someone to speak for you. You need someone that says, no, he has done these things, but he doesn't deserve death.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've already paid for those things. That condemnation that was due was nailed to the cross. In Colossians, you know, Paul talks about the condemnations that due to us because of the law was nailed to the cross. You did those things, but if you've accepted the blood, if you've repented of what you've done, your condemnation's nailed to the cross. Mm-hmm. So you're guilty, but you're not guilty.
Right.
You're guilty, but you're punished. You're not punished.
Right.
You've gotten grace rather than justice.
Right.
I shouldn't say not guilty, you're guilty, but you've gotten grace rather than justice.
Right.
Because if you got justice, you wouldn't deserve anything.
Exactly.
And you may have come to Christ on your deathbed, and you might be 85 years old, and you may have had a life totally outside of Christ for 85 years and 14 days, and on day 15, you suddenly came. Well, you're guilty of 85 years of violating the law, but now, instead of getting the condemnation you deserve, you get grace.
Yeah.
And this is the good news of salvation.
That is the good news.
That's really good news.
Yeah.
That's outstanding news.
It is.
And that's why it's called the gospel.
That there's forgiveness.
The good news.
Yeah, that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And there's forgiveness of sins only in the name of Jesus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And again, back to my favorite book of Romans, in chapter 5, in verse 8, Paul writes, God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We quote this on our show a lot.
Yeah.
Because Jesus doesn't say to the people, you know, you guys are a bunch of horrible sinners, so you better smack yourselves around, and you better go out in the wilderness, and you better fast, and you better pray, and you better do. And then after you've been out there for 3 years or 12 years or 13 years or whatever it is, then come back, and we'll see how you did. If you did good, then I'll get you saved.
Yeah.
He says, while we were still sinners, he died for us.
Yeah.
While we were sinners. He died for me while I was a sinner. He died for you while you were a sinner.
Yeah. While we were transgressing against God, God gives us the gift of salvation.
That's right. He doesn't wait for us to perfect ourselves. We should try to perfect ourselves. We should always be striving to be holy.
Right.
But he died for us while we were still sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a second break already.
Yep.
I'm just going down the Roman road. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. This is an awesome song.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength and my strong tower. Why should I be afraid?
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Love that song.
An awesome song.
But anyways, we're kind of walking. I can't believe we're in the last part of the show already.
I know.
As we're walking down the Roman road. But anyway, in 5:8, you know, while we were still sinners, he dies for us. But then in verse 10, he says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. While we were enemies. Now, how were we enemies? Because we were always in rebellion. You know, the scripture says there's not one that follows. Nobody wants to do it. Paul says, in my head, I say, oh yeah, I'm going to do the law. I'm going to do all these good things. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't do them.
Right.
And the things that he doesn't want to do, he keeps on doing. Most of you can probably identify with some sin, some rebellion, that you keep on doing it. And you say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And you repent of it and you say to the Lord, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But then you do it again.
Yeah.
And then you repent and then you do it again. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, so there's this constant rebellion. And it, the scripture there that Paul writes us, we're enemies.
Yeah.
We're not just like, you know, sort of, we did some things that weren't quite right. We're enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, an enemy is a serious situation.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve became enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan of salvation was so that we could be reconciled. And he says it happened while we were enemies. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies, we're reconciled by the death of his son.
Yeah, for the ungodly.
For the ungodly.
That's all of us.
Yes, that's all of us. Every single one. So keep this in mind. And if this is the first time you're hearing any of this, you know, you have to keep in mind that what these verses are saying is that you're a mess and you basically stand, and you stand condemned before an all holy, all just God.
Yeah.
But the remedy's been provided for.
Right.
While you're still a mess. The remedy's not provided for you after you've cleaned yourself up for a while. And I'm not saying you shouldn't clean yourself up. You should always strive to clean yourself up. But the remedy's provided for you while you're still a mess.
Right. Yeah. You know, in this chapter of Romans, in chapter 5, where we're reading from is between verse 1 and verse 8. Indeed, only with difficulties does one die for a just person.
Mm.
Though perhaps for a good person, one might even find the courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath?
Mm.
Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life?
Mm.
Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Through him you've received reconciliation. Not through yourself, not through some other person.
Right.
Not through a couple of your friends that have been praying for you. All those things are good.
Right.
You should have friends praying for you.
God establishes.
Yes. But he establishes. He establishes the reconciliation.
Yes.
He reconciles. Because Paul talks about him as the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The first Adam was a miserable failure. We belong to the first Adam in our humanity. He's our father. We all have our descent from Adam. So in our humanity, we're part of the first Adam. But now, the second Adam, who dies while we were sinners, if we come to the second Adam, we have our life restored. We have reconciliation restored. That even though we're carrying around the sin nature of our father, human Adam, we now have the grace, mercy, and righteousness of the second Adam. Because he writes in 5:18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and unto justification. So one man caused all this fall.
Yeah.
Horrible. So now by one, with a capital O, by the righteousness of the one with a capital O, the free gift comes for all of us to be justified.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable.
It is. You know, I'm looking at Titus chapter 3, verse 3, where he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deluded, slaves to various desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful ourselves and hating one another. But when the kindness and generous love of God, our Savior, appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life.
Woo!
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the good news of the gospel.
That's the good news.
I mean, we've really laid out, okay, what is salvation and why do we need it? But this is the good news of mm-hmm. of the end result of all of this that has taken place.
That's right. And we need to go back. We're going to end this with 2 Corinthians 5:21, which 2 Corinthians might be one of my favorite books too, especially this verse. 21, for he made him, that's capital H, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus did not know sin in his humanity, and of course in his divinity, but in his humanity he did not know sin, but he was made to be sin for us.
Yeah.
So that we can have the righteousness of God in him. This is profound. This is the good news of the gospel. It's the substitution.
Yeah.
In the first Adam lived in a beautiful garden, and a beautiful tree caused our fall. The second Adam suffered in a horrible garden on a horrible tree, but it brings life. All of the salvation history is about two gardens and two trees.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get out. You're not going to get out of the horrible garden on your own.
Right.
You're not going to get out of the condemnation on your own. It's been provided for you.
Exactly.
And this is the message of salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo.
Well, praise the Lord.
Woo. Well, we didn't have time to do an altar call.
We can.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would just take this moment that if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would invite him into your heart and just pray, Lord Jesus, I need you. I desire you. Forgive me of my sins and let me enter into the kingdom and the righteousness that you have won for me by your cross, death, and resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.